In this segment, we're going to spend some time dealing with assumptions that people, especially those in elected office, have about certain voter demographics. Let's start with the millennial voter. The belief is that the veer hard left, with the support of Bernie Sanders that he received in 2016, as supposed proof of that, would it surprise you if I told you that millennial voters played a role in President Trump's win? And it's looking like the millennial voter is either drifting to the GOP or at the very least is up for grabs, according to a recent poll. So how do Republican candidates close the sale? With this group of voters here to discuss this is the president and founder of the Millennial Solution, as well as author of books including Five Millennial Myths and the Millennial Entrepreneur, Gabrielle Boucher. Thanks for being here today, Gabrielle.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
MillennialSolution.com. Learn more about the Millennial Solution, all the services that they offer to a variety of people as well as industries that you'll see when you go to the site. And again, Gabrielle, we're doing some myth-busting in this segment, and the belief versus reality at least looks like it has the possibility of flipping from Democrat to Republican. Certainly is trending that way for the millennial voter. They had a recent online survey of 16,000 registered voters between 18 to 34, with the at least the overall finding being that support for Democrats over the GOP for Congress has slipped by about 9 points over the past 2 years to 46% overall. That isn't part of the thought process that Democrats have for the midterm elections, is it?
It certainly isn't. And if Democrats want to win back those 23 seats so that they get back in power come the fall, they're really going to have to do a due diligence when it comes to reaching millennial voters. Now, this particular poll looked at 18 to 34-year-olds, but really millennials are about 18 to 37. So they're a large part of the population. But what many people don't realize is we're actually about the same part of the voting block as baby boomers. And come 2020, in just a few short years, will be the majority of the voting block. So both Democrats and Republicans, if they're wanting to keep in power, if they're wanting to grow in influence, they're going to have to capture the millennial voter.
In radio, there's certain music you don't hear anymore in commercial radio. Sinatra, Elvis Presley, even the Beatles now. Reason being is that music attracts an older demographic who is strongly brand loyal. So if you're an advertiser, you're going to have to take a lot of time, spend a lot of money. It's hard to switch that audience into whatever your brand or product happens to be, meaning that the younger someone is, the more easily they can have their mind changed or they're more open to new ideas. That goes true with the voter as well, apparently. With the millennials, they're not always fans of Donald Trump, but I've read a lot of examples where 18, 20 people in their 20s, early 30s, after the Trump tax reform, they're seeing money in their paycheck that they didn't have before, and they're saying, you know, maybe the guys on that side have something that I wasn't giving them credit for.
Well, you have to keep in mind that my generation came of age during the recession, and for many of us, this is the first economic upturn we've ever experienced. So now we're starting to realize, wow, this is what it's like to be fully employed. This is what it's like to, you know, make more money, to have the ability to pay off my student loans faster, to save for a house. I mean, that's really what this generation is starting to tap into. But this poll we've been discussing that Reuters recently released, interestingly enough, showed 2 out of 3 millennials still don't like Donald Trump, but they're disconnecting Donald Trump from the Republican Party, or at least Republican candidates, which is certainly an interesting trend. So millennials may say, hey, I'll vote for a Republican, you know, but they don't necessarily see the president as kind of the face of the Republican Party.
If you look at if you have one of those questions where you want to ask someone to list their top priorities, top issues, whatever the case may be, the economy is always going to be 1, 2, or maybe at a rare occasion, number 3. So as you mentioned, if we're in an economic upturn and the millennial voter looks and sees, OK, who's running stuff down there? Who's running things in my state? Well, it's the GOP. They'll make that connection. And it just seems like they want to be more issue oriented than the assumed cult of personality that a lot of people thought the young voter was for Bernie Sanders.
That's certainly the case. And we see more and more that this generation, as they're coming of age, they're in their 20s, entering into their 30s, that they are more concerned about things like the economy, jobs, opportunity. But this generation really does have so much to gain from getting involved in the political process. Why this generation is really so up for grabs is because this is one of the first generations that doesn't associate with either parties. The majority of millennials consider themselves political independent. So that really does mean that whether you have a D after your name, an R after your name, you're running as an independent, you can capture the millennial market if you understand the issues that are most important to them, like jobs, the economy, and what many people aren't talking about, and they should, is student loan reform. This generation is at the average of $38,000 in student loan debt, which is slowing them from getting married, having kids, buying houses, starting companies. So if a candidate wants to capture millennials, you've got to start hitting those issues and communicating the way that this generation resonates with.
Well, Gabrielle Beauchesne, who is the founder and president of the Millennial Solution, also author of books including Five Millennial Myths and the Millennial Entrepreneur. MillennialSolution.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You talk about connecting with your target audience. That holds true whether you're in politics, advertising, day-to-day industry, whatever the case may be. A boss has to connect with employees, and which you write about with Five Millennial Myths as well. The seems like the Republican Party just always just didn't get it. They were just too traditional in their communication system. Is that one of the places that if they can become more effective in social media, in web ads, and that aspect, that could further escalate this trend that's drifting their way that this the Reuters poll showed?
Absolutely. And both parties are starting to switch their approach when reaching the millennial voters. The DNC, for example, just launched the hashtag I Will Vote campaign, really hoping to drive millennial voter turnout. Republicans really need to step up their game, in my opinion, because I don't think that they're being as aggressive with Republicans. I think this recent poll that we've been discussing, I think, is a great and encouraging sign for Republicans who are looking to capture millennials, but they have to do more. They're working on college campuses. But they're making the cardinal mistake, which I see candidates and politicians of all stripes make, and that's assuming that all millennials are college students, which simply is not the case. They're ages 18 to 37. You know, they're starting families, they're buying houses, they're working for you, they're in their 30s. And so because of that, you're really going to make a big mistake if you assume that everyone who hits that millennial voter demographic is just getting out of college and looking for their first job.
Don't the Democrats, too, have a bigger challenge? That the Republicans are just looking for gaining. The Democrats have to prevent losing, and they can lose in two ways because the millennial voter, as the 2016 election showed on the Democratic side at least, if they didn't like who was on the ticket, they were not going to just hold their nose and vote. They stayed home. A lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters did not come out and support Hillary, and thereby also the rest of the Democratic column on the ballot.
Really great point. And we saw that the Democratic Party really lost a lot of faith with the millennial generation who many did show up for Bernie Sanders because it's not, you know, because he was, you know, a socialist. It really was because he was talking about the issues that millennials care about. He resonated with a generation who's concerned about jobs, who's concerned about student loan debt, and frankly just wanted someone to say, I'm here for you and I'm listening for you. That's why millennials came out and supported Bernie Sanders. But in the aftermath, we've seen how the Democratic Party treated Bernie Sanders. And so because of that, many millennials have said, you know what, I don't want to support a party that I can't trust is going to be honest and isn't going to be representing my values. And so, you know, again, I think that the Democrat Party really does have an uphill battle in recapturing the trust of the millennial voter.
These ideas, too, they really gel with, and what your work does, too, gel with the working world, too, because employers of all sizes are seeing a shift now in the employee pool or the potential employee pool, and they, too, have to build a better skill of connecting, motivating, promoting themselves to attract the brightest and the best and the most talented of among the millennial workers who are coming out of college or are looking to change careers, too, for that matter.
They certainly do. And millennials are now the largest part of the workforce. So, you know, whether you have 20 employees or 2,000 employees, if 50% of your workforce isn't millennial, your listeners need to get ready because they're soon going to be. So understanding what motivates millennials and how to capture them is incredibly important to preserving the work, the legacy, and the impact of what your business is doing. And we spend so much of our time working with leaders in industries around the world to help them understand how to capture the millennial market and how to retain the millennial talent that they currently have to create a work environment where everyone thrives.
And you can learn more about the work of the Millennial Solution, these ideas, how they not just don't apply to politics, but also to the industry that you're in by visiting MillennialSolution.com. You can also check out Gabrielle's books, Five Millennial Myths and the Millennial Entrepreneur. She is the president and founder of the Millennial Solution, Gabrielle Boucher. Gabrielle, thanks for your insight today and for being here.
Thanks for having me on.